Maximo Park mit Risk to Exist auf Flux FM. Das ist der Titeltrack der aktuellen Platte der Band um Paul Smith herum. Und der Mann mit Hut sitzt jetzt bei mir im Studio, denn heute Abend spielen Maximo Park in Huxleys neuer Welt. Wir sprechen jetzt mit Paul ein bisschen über die durchaus politische sechste Platte Risk to Exist, die live in den Wilco Studios in Chicago aufgenommen wurde. Wir finden heraus, warum die Band ihre politischen Ansichten heute deutlicher und direkter formuliert als zu Beginn der Kapellenkarriere. Und wir sprechen auch über demokratische Prozesse innerhalb der Band, die alles anstrengender, aber auch schöner machen. Wir sprechen über Literaturpodcasts und vieles mehr. Zunächst sage ich aber hello and welcome again, Paul Smith.
Dankeschön. Hello.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Very good, very good. Sunny day in Berlin. So yeah, das Wetter ist super.
Ja, das stimmt allerdings. It's a great day, especially for Berlin. It's not a typical weather situation for Berlin.
No, I had brought lots of heavy clothing, big coats and my Middlesbrough FC football scarf, and I was ready for a cold snap in Berlin, but it's completely confounded our expectations. It's sunglasses weather.
Yeah, the sad thing though that you can't wear your Middlesbrough scarf.
I mean, yeah, I've also got my Middlesbrough shirt with me, so I can wear that instead.
Nice. Have you ever been to Alte Försterei, where Union Berlin is playing?
No,
it's a second division team.
Everybody talks about it, and yeah. A friend of mine who's a big football fan who lives in Newcastle, where I live, mm-hmm. He comes on holiday and goes to see Union Berlin. So yeah,
maybe you once have to check it out, because it's a super interesting atmosphere.
Yeah,
and the fans are super tight with the club. They build their own stadium, you know, in their spare time.
This is it. Next time I come on holiday to Berlin to visit my friends, I will try and get to the stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, you're a soccer fan or a football fan.
Yeah,
and I think it would be really interesting, because there's a certain English energy in there. I think
that's what they say. Yes,
yeah, yeah. In a good way.
No, that can be good or bad.
Yeah, that's true. So how are you doing? Where are you coming from today? You played a show in Munich yesterday?
That's correct, yeah. We went from Zurich to Munich and now up to Berlin. So it's been a long drive overnight, but the show was great. We played in this place called Backstage Werk.
Okay.
And it was one of the hottest shows that we've played in a long time. I remember a lot of the early shows that we played in small venues were very hot and sweaty. And all of our shows are pretty hot and sweaty, but this one took it to the next level. I felt like I was going to fall over after the show.
Is the Oktoberfest still on, actually?
It is. I think a lot of people had beer sweats.
Yeah, beer sweat. the most tasteful sweat for Germans. Well, congratulations on Risk to Exist, an album that does show your concerns about political tendencies these days much clearer than the albums before. How and when did you realize that you should go for a more direct approach when it came to writing the lyrics for the new LP? I mean, songs like Girls Who Play Guitars have a political message as well, but it's kind of hidden in a metaphor.
Yeah.
But this time you were like, there's words like empathy, solidarity, government,
yes,
on the record.
This is true. Those words kind of stick out. And when I was starting to write the lyrics for the record, I said to the rest of the guys in the band, do we want to go down this road? You know, these are some of the things that I feel strongly about. And in that respect, all of our music's emotionally driven from the first album to this one. Only that obviously the I don't think it's a time to be ambiguous about what you think,
yeah,
because there's a lot of ambiguity. And you know, I've been watching with some alarm some of the things that are going on in the German election,
yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize what they're voting for if they're voting for some of these far right parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think in our songs, even though perhaps to you or I, who maybe, I don't know your political leanings, but, you know, somebody who comes from a more left wing,
yeah,
liberal outlook, you know, some of the things that are in the lyrics are probably obvious,
yeah,
you know,
true.
But then I think because we write pop songs and we have some sort of responsibility to talk to everyone,
yes,
somehow, if we possibly can, there's stuff in there that might make somebody's brain go,
hang
on, what's this all about?
Yeah, and I really love the thought of like a super right-winged skinhead dancing on some party to a song like Risk to Exist. And like, wow, I love that beat. And then like when the second chorus kicks in, he's like, what is he singing about? Oh, man, maybe not just the beat is nice. Maybe the message that I'm delivered right now is kind of,
yeah,
is kind of right, too. Because that's the thing that we all talk about right now is like, it's good to show your political insight or show your political opinion, but it's kind of like hard to get that through the filter bubble, right? Because all your friends or like most of the Flux FM listeners are kind of like more left-winged.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to get through. But I think that's a good reason for like happy sounding music.
Well, this is it. There's that kind of juxtaposition, yeah. If I can use that word, on the radio. We wanted to create a record where you could dance to it, where, you know, in the past we've done stuff that's kind of groovy, but this record has overtly funky stuff on it. But also, while people are dancing, they're maybe dancing to something that is quite socially aware, right. And is quite complex. You know, the record calls for complexity. It says, you know, that too many things are black and white,
yes.
Which is not where how people operate. It's not how our societies are structured. So it's a call to, you know, people in power to take responsibility for, because they are the ones who can affect it. Again, a song can only do so much. And I think it's more about a collective mindset of almost saying to people who listen to our music, we are there for you. You know, there's a song on the record called I'll Be Around.
Yeah.
It's a very simple song.
Solidarity song.
Yeah, it's a solidarity song. It's about saying, despite all the crap that's going on, we can get through this. And that's how people progress since the dawn of time.
Totally true. Yeah. I really love the fact that you're using that trick, like, to get the message out there with a happy sounding song, and people are dancing to it, and they'll be like, oh yeah, Paul Smith, I think I have to reconsider his thoughts on that topic. So I really think it's a great idea. And you go a step farther as well with the band, because you decided to donate the money you're making with the single Risk to Exist that we've just listened to. You decided to donate the money that you make with the single to an organization named MOAS. That's for Migrant Offshore Aid Station. I think that they do help people who got are on boats in the middle of the sea. Or what is this organization about?
Yeah, that's exactly it. In the Mediterranean, people are obviously coming from places like Libya, where their society is in complete flux. Mm. You know, there's nobody seeming. There's a kind of power gap. And so people can easily traffic people. Criminals can say, yes, I have a boat if you give me the money, and the boats aren't seaworthy.
Yeah.
And these people are desperate. I mean, you have to say to yourself, why would anybody get on that boat in the first place? They must be in a pretty horrible situation.
And that's what most people don't see, right? They're like, oh yeah, they all want to come over here, and they jump on the boat and try to make it over here. The first thing you have to think when you look at those people is how desperate they must have been.
Yeah, and I think, again, aside from the political aspect of it, just if you think about the situation, and having seen footage of some of the rescues that go on, and I've read articles about what MOAS did before we got in touch with them, it's frightening. Just seeing it is harrowing to watch, and so somebody needs to save them, and our governments have certainly in the Great Britain and part of, I guess, the EU as well, and different governments have turned their back on these people. They're saying that it's going to put them off, but it hasn't.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense, that argument. People will keep coming because they're in desperate circumstances. And it's such a big situation. We could talk about it for some time. There's things like climate change, which certain people in power are now saying it doesn't exist.
And that's another reason for people to having to leave their countries,
exactly.
Because there's no more agriculture. It's not possibility to live by your own means.
Well, exactly. This is the thing. It's a bigger situation than just saying, these people want to come here and get our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, again, the song Risk to Exist talks about that. It says, if we're proud of the things that we have, shouldn't others want to share as well?
Yeah.
You know, is it any surprise if we're saying capitalism's great? Look at us, we've got loads of money, and we've got, you know, all of these items. We've got big TVs.
Yeah.
Of course people are going to want to come. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And
you have to keep in the back of your head that some of the wealth that we're talking about and some of the super stuff that we have here is kind of like pressed out of other countries on the African continent, right?
Exactly. And again, the song Risk to Exist touches upon Britain's colonial past.
Yeah.
You know, we have gone to other countries. We have taken what we wanted. We have created problems in those countries. And So who are we to talk?
Yeah, it's crazy, actually. It is really crazy. Like, oh, no, they're coming over here. Why? Why do they have problems in their homelands, you know? That's really, really crazy, considering that we all have something to do
exactly
with that situation as well. So the band was like an assembly of artists, but now it's like an assembly of artivists. That's a word I learned from the Dead Press, you know, the hip-hop guys.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like, yeah, we were not artists anymore, and we're not just activists. We're the combination of both, artivists.
Yeah. I think when I was at university, I studied art history, and my idea of pop music is broader than, I don't know, a more mainstream idea of it. Mm-hmm. So I've always thought that art should challenge people. And I also think that pop music is art. Yeah. So there's all these different things combined in our music. And I felt like perhaps people hadn't got the idea of the political aspect of something like Girls Who Play Guitars, which is a song about equality and the hypocrisy, I suppose, of certain newspapers and media outlets where they say girls shouldn't act like boys and drink too much. And, you know, it's kind of ludicrous. And obviously our songs are very personal, so it ends up being a personal tale that touches on those things. And again, Our Velocity talks about war. You know, it's a song set in a war zone. And yes, you can, you know, it's frantic, it's exciting, it's about love and a love at long distance and all sorts of different things. But yeah, with this record, we've gone further down into that, into a more activist, arty area. But I think, you know, it's a challenge. It would have been possibly, I don't know, but it might have been possible to make a more aggressive record, very punky, very fast, like a lot of our songs in the past have been very fast. And people would have got it straight away and just went, right, they've made an angry political record.
Yeah.
And I appreciate a lot of records like that, you know, whether it's Public Enemy or a punk record.
Yeah, like Prophets of Rage right now as well.
This is the thing. It works when it's done well. But it would have been the obvious move for us. So that's why we thought, what can we do that would be different from the other things that we have done? And to be more overtly political and to also be groovy and uplifting and funky, because the songs can be quite negative in their sentiment. So let's make sure there is hope within the song.
I love that. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of like protest songs from the 70s, which were addressed to Vietnam and to the governments who made Vietnam possible.
Yeah.
Because some of them songs were super poppy and you listen to them for the first time like, oh, what a dreamy song. I can fly away and escape with that song. But when you listen to the lyrics, it's about war and it's about hard times and it's about inequalities and stuff. I think it's a really good trick to go like for a poppy song and for the hardcore lyrics, because the other stuff is obvious. I think there's a need for the other stuff right now as well.
Yeah,
for people screaming like fuck yeah. But I really dig the way that you've done it on the new record. Now let's listen to another song of the record. It's called What Did We Do to Deserve This? And then we talk a bit more.
Absolutely.
Paul Smith von Maximo Park ist bei mir im Studio. Hier nochmal ein weiteres Stück von ihrer Platte, die heute nochmal präsentiert werden wird in Huxleys Neue Welt. Für die Show verlosen wir dann auch gleich ein paar Tickets noch. Maximo Park mit What Did We Do to Deserve This? Paul Smith ist bei mir im Studio und hat gerade ein bisschen Air Drums gespielt.
That's right.
Those last.
Can't help myself.
I love it though. I love air drumming. I do it all day long when I'm in this very studio here. Now we've talked about a different approach when it comes to the lyrics. We've talked about political views that are happening on the record and about the trick to put them on or into really poppy songs and trying to get out of the filter bubble maybe with that poppy song, right? Another thing that I find really interesting is that you've recorded the album live with Tom Schick in Chicago. And that the live, because that's like a bridge between you as a band and the world out there, because the recording process only took like 3 weeks, but mixing the whole thing took a bit longer because you're a democratic band.
That's right. It's
you have to discuss everything. And then now I really want to know, because I think that being in a democratic band or being in a group of artists who work in a democratic way is like a super hard thing to do, because there's an opinion around every corner and it's getting longer and longer, the whole process to make art. But at the same time, I think the democracy part of it makes it harder, but more beautiful in the end as well, because you can look at the whole product as a band and you'd be like, yeah, we all share our parts in this. We're still a gang. It might feel better than if one has said, let's do it this way or that way, right?
Yeah, I think in our band, some of the strongest opinions come from Tom, our drummer, and he doesn't really write any of the songs, but we all arrange them together in the room. And so he'll say, you know, I really think the chorus should come back again at the end, or let's cut this here. And, you know, sometimes his drum beats completely change the way that a song feels. And, you know, you've got to respect that and realize the power that that one person can have. And again, if I say, look, I'm really feeling strongly that we need to change this part,
yeah,
we'll change it and see what happens, see if we're happy with it. You know, it might be that we'll put a version down in our own home studio, go away for a week and come back and go, nah, that was no good, whatever. And so it does take a while to actually get anything done, even artwork.
Yeah.
Sometimes I might take the lead on that because, you know, there's so many emails go around. We need to change this, change that, change this. Because we actually got a friend of ours to do the artwork for the new record, and she prints it by hand, and it's really nicely done. And so there's a lot of back and forth. But then ultimately, when it comes down to it, we still all need to be totally in agreement. And that's something that we've learned how to do over the years.
That's good, though.
Sometimes we just wouldn't talk about it because we didn't want to upset each other. Mm-hmm. We are friends, and that's very important to us. And so you say you might be disagreeing with somebody, but just saying nothing, which is very harmful to the process.
Yeah.
Especially you could get, and we have done, you know, you get a few months down the line, and then finally that person, whoever it might be, says, actually, I'm not really into this.
Oh,
and you're like, no, we've been... working on this for months. And so we've learned now to just say, right, I'm you know, no offense, but that's no good.
Yeah. And what I find funny is then when we're looking at the two takes that we've did in this interview, there's those two worlds, right? There's this macrocosm of a democratic society, and then there's this microcosm of a band that kind of like tries out democratic processes and shows itself and the world that it's a hard process, and it takes a lot of strength to go through it, but it's worth it in the end, right?
Yeah, well, this is it. You get something that you would have never got individually, and that's, you know, spread that out to society as well.
Yeah, discuss things. I think discussing things is really important, especially nowadays, because all the right-winged parties try to get people with the idea that we're not discussing things anymore, which is totally not true, right? But people hop onto that train and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for them because then we discuss again. And I really think discussing again is an important part of the democratic process, and I think we have to
you've got to listen. I think again, a lot of collaboration, a lot of working together with other people is listening and absorbing what they have to say, even if sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Nobody wants to feel uncomfortable. We all like to feel safe and warm and cozy, but we have to also take the challenge up. You know, in our country, in the recent unfortunate referendum that is now called Brexit, after this election, or whatever, this referendum, I should say, the side that was more conservative and that won the referendum to leave the EU, they were saying, we've had enough of experts. There's a politician called Michael Gove, a conservative politician. He said, Britain's had enough of experts.
Sure.
And this is ridiculous. I mean, what on earth?
Why did we ask anybody about that topic?
Yeah.
We have a few experts, but let's ask Paul.
This is it. This is it. If you want to know something about climate change, ask somebody who's studied it for however many years, who's an expert in it. If you want to study economics and the gap between gender pay, you know, between men and women, have a look. It's all there.
Yeah.
And then you'll have somebody saying, this doesn't exist. No, absolutely not. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah. I won't ask an expert. I know that it doesn't exist, you know, something like that.
This is it. This kind of people saying, I'm going to trust my gut instinct.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to do that, yeah. But not always.
Maybe when you're trying to fall in love or something, then yeah. It might be good. But in the political process,
you need to analyze.
Everybody's talking about their feelings nowadays. Like, I feel as if the system was heading into a wrong direction. It doesn't matter if you feel that, if you can prove it, if you have an idea how to change it. That's nice, though. But your feelings are not super important in that context, I think.
No, well, it's the same in our band, you know, in on that very micro level. You know, a lot of our music comes from the heart. It's very instinctive. But let's say you've done a song that's very instinctive and you feel like it's brilliant and it's just flowed out of you. And then you listen to it and take a step back and it sounds like one of your other songs. You know, you, there's no point in putting that song out. You're repeating yourself. Or, you know, you write a lyric and you think it's great and you're like, oh, we had a total eclipse of the heart. And you're like, if you just went with your instinct, you'd be Bonnie Tyler would be suing you.
Yeah.
You know, it's this idea of something that's instinctive, but also having a balance. And again, that's what our record is about. Yeah. It's about balance. There's not enough balance in the world. Things are out of kilter.
Yeah.
Where it's you're either right wing or you're left wing.
Yeah.
And anybody in the middle is weird and bland.
Yeah.
And you know, again, it's good to have something that you stand up for. Again, there's a song on the record called The Hero, which was inspired by, I was watching an old mining family from the Northeast. There's this early 60s footage of them on the BBC, and they're a folk singing family called the Elliots from this place in County Durham in the Northeast. And so they're miners, but on a night they go out singing and they sing all of these folk songs, these beautiful folk songs, strong a cappella things. And they interview the guy in his house, Jack Elliott, the sort of grandfather who's carrying on this tradition. And his wife comes in and she's just absolutely no compromises whatsoever. She talks about people who are outside of the community and she's not interested in the talks about the kind of the government and people in power. She's so resistant and strong. Uh-huh. And whilst I don't think that's always the right way, it's still inspirational to see people who have these strong beliefs.
Yeah.
But I think you also have to have this a little bit of subtlety.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, I mean, on that song it says, sometimes you have to give in, but you better not make a habit of it.
Yeah. And that's Tom's line, right? I've read about the fact that Tom wrote that line.
No,
okay.
Was me.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
I wrote
playing with your ego a little bit.
That's it. So I have to say, I did write all of the lyrics, but it's one of those things that I feel like I am proud of who I am and where I come from, but you shouldn't let that blind you to other realities, to other possibilities. And I think
I think empathy should be taught in school by now, you know. It should be an own topic in school, like two or three hours of empathy each week, just to explain the whole concept of empathy to the kids whose parents maybe are not even in the position to teach them what empathy is, because they haven't learned about that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Progress.
Yes. I could talk on with you forever, but we're running out of time. I want to thank you for that record, which is like a record full of questions one can dance to. I really appreciate that. And I want to give away some tickets for tonight's show. 030-2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Maximo Park spielen heute in Huxleys Neuer Welt. Und wir haben die letzten Tickets, die wir verlosen dürfen. Unter der eben genannten Nummer 030-2000-9000 ruft jetzt an für die letzten Tickets für Maximo Park in Huxley's Neue Welt. Paul, thanks again for this beautiful interview. I hope we'll meet each other pretty soon again and then talk a bit more.
Thank you, danke.
Gerne. Say hi to all the others, Duncan, Tom and the whole crew.
Will do.
And we'll meet again. Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Paul. I'm sorry, got confused. And the end of the interview.
That's the end of that. I'm out of here.